Well, welcome everyone to session 10 and our final session, I might say, for Abounding in Thanksgiving. I trust that this has been a great series for you. I've got a lot of positive feedback from it, from even some calls from people this week about it. So I greatly appreciate that encouragement. And we look forward to what we're going to share today, because I think we all want to just grow in this ability to be thankful at all times. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we are thankful to you for teaching us and showing us through your word and through your Holy Spirit how we can walk in thanksgiving in a continual basis. And Father, I just ask you today as we wrap this up to just give us a confidence that we can do this. Reveal to us the role that the Holy Spirit plays working with the word and how you're just orchestrating this together with them. And we give you praise and glory for it. We just say we are truly a thankful people. And we know we are greatly loved by you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Abounding in thanksgiving. Let's go back to where we begin this study in Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8. And let me just read through those. And I want you to think about all that you've learned, things that maybe stick with you, those top 3 to 4 things that tend to stick with us even in a long-term study as we go through this. Colossians 2, verse 6, and I'm going to read in the Amplified a fair amount today. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with Him and conformity to Him. I can almost hear some people saying, really? Do it just like Jesus did? Well, just hang on, because that's what we're going to be talking about. I am not kidding. And again, we're talking about, with this study, living a continual life of thanksgiving. And last week, we focused on being humble. Verse 7 continues saying, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted. So this is not something we're going to be able just to do right at the get-go. It's going to take some learning and some growing and some increasing. And where are we planted? In Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him. So this is a growth that we're going to have as long as we're on this earth. And I believe we're going to continue to learn more about the Lord as we're in heaven with Him. Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, in His ways, in His way of doing things, just as we've been taught, and this is where we focused, abounding and overflowing in it as we live our lives, I would say, with thanksgiving. Wow. I know that's a mouthful, but the question that we're going to be addressing in a few moments after we finish our review is, can we really do this? And I think you're going to see we can and get some real strong encouragement as to how we do it. Last week, as we talked about continual thanksgiving with humility, we began to see the relationship that those two have with each other. We began by looking at a contrast. Are we magnifying God, in other words, being humble, or are we magnifying ourselves? And we looked at two examples, Paul and Hezekiah. Paul, who was magnifying the Lord, and Hezekiah, who thought he could do it all by himself. And when you were like he was, we saw that you can't be thankful and magnify yourself. It just doesn't go together. We also saw in Psalm 138, the 6th verse concludes by saying, but the haughty or the prideful he knows from afar. In other words, we can't get close to the Lord when we're not walking without walking in humility. And so this is something we definitely don't want to do. A key element to continual thanksgiving, we address this question. Are we thankful when others receive? And mine maybe hasn't even manifested yet? Or do I get envious and jealous? We saw in Romans 12:15 that it begins by saying, rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy. And so what we're beginning to see, or began to see last week, was that we can rejoice all the time. But it's going to take rejoicing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord together. And we looked at a verse then in Romans 12:4-5, where we saw that how we are to do this with our brothers and sisters. But we mentioned that walking in love is the foundation for it. Walking in love is the foundation for everything we have. And you're going to see that again today. Romans 12, 4 and 5. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We looked at some other verses that confirm this. But what this is telling us is if we're walking in love with our brothers like we ought to, then we can be rejoicing with them when they receive, even if it's something we're believing for and it hasn't manifested for us. In fact, I'll tell you, it'll manifest quicker when we are thankful for those who received it. So if we celebrate the members of the body who have a breakthrough, even when ours seem delayed, I believe we can stay in this constant state or continual thanksgiving and even being abounding in it. Now, one more point we made last week, and I just want to reiterate this because I think it is a very important part, is not to focus on, I can do it myself. And I sound like a broken record, but we're going to see that again today as well. We got to realize that pride was the beginning of the end for Lucifer. It's what led him astray. And that's why today we don't want to talk about, well, I'm so proud of, and I'll use my grandkids as an example. I don't want to boast on them because all I'm doing is looking and really saying, look what mine have produced. And I don't want that. What do we say then instead of being prideful about it or I'm so proud? Be thankful. Give God the glory for what he has made those who we feel that way about to be. We then saw that being thankful is really a form of humility. Noah's 1812 dictionary, which uses a lot of biblical references, as many of you know, defines it this way: freedom from pride and arrogance, a humbleness of mind, or an act of submission. It's that place of entire dependence on God. No pride, just an absence of it, and total submission to Jesus. You can't submit to him with pride. I would say it simply, it's nothing about me and everything about Jesus. We looked at the examples that are noted in the Bible as two of the greatest or most meek people was Moses and Jesus. Both were greatly used. We got to see that. Yet they were very confident. They weren't wimps. And neither are we. We went through a series of scriptures to show what we have being in him. And being meek is not a pushover. Humility does not mean we're a pushover. And you got to remember, too, that Jesus, he was the one who was very humble. And yet, remember, he cleared the temple out. So I really believe humility is a great sign of strength in you and I today. And that's when we're the strongest in him. So today I want to talk about increasing in humility. And let's just address the question of what does the Bible say? Can I really walk that way? And when we say increasing in humility, we've seen that thus we'll increase also in what? In being thankful or giving thanks. So the question then is it really possible for me to live like that? And Paul seemed to think so, because he said it concerning him. He said this concerning himself in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at verse 10, and I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Version. It says it just very profoundly. Paul writing says, "But God was kind. He made me what I am." Kind of blunt, isn't it? Pure and simple. "And his wonderful kindness wasn't wasted." Paul said, "I worked much harder than any of the other apostles, although it was really God's kindness at work and not me." So even though he's saying, yeah, I put a lot of effort into it, I know it's not me, but it's what? God working in me. So how do we grow in humility? Might we say, how do I walk as Jesus did? Also, now, as we go into this, remember what Paul just said that we read. God made me what I am. Even when I put effort in it, it was Him doing the work. So what is the truth about this then? The truth is that I can't do it alone. It's going to take the Word, working with the Holy Spirit, and being orchestrated by the Father to make it come about. So where do we start? Well, my nature is prideful. It's not a humble nature, the carnal part of me. So where do we look first? Well, Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm not going to teach on all the fruit. In fact, I'm not even going to go through and name them all, but I want to make a couple of key points. It starts out saying, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then it adds joy and peace. But let's just stop at love, and let me say right here and now that of the 9 fruit of the Spirit, when you take love, you make it the curtain rod, and all the rest of the 8 of those fruit hang on that rod, or in other words, they're dependent on love. So that love is the part we really want to stress, and it's foundational. Now, meekness or humble or humility is a fruit of the Spirit. So the question then is, can I provide that to the fruit of my Spirit even when it's against my nature? And the answer is clearly, if you're talking about you doing it yourself, absolutely not. But you're not alone in this. Humility, just like love is in your spirit as you are in Him and He in you. And so it's there, but we have to nurture it. We have to feed it. And then it will spring forth in our lives. So we can't provide it, but it's definitely something that we can draw from our spirit man, and let it flow out through us and from us. Now, if we're going to do this, then Galatians 5:16, a few verses earlier, I think is really key. Galatians 5:16, Paul writing says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Now, that's talking to do that, then you've got to get to a point where the Holy Spirit is truly your best friend. He's your confidant. He's the one who you listen to as you live life day in and day out. And look at the benefit of doing it. When we walk by the Spirit, when we let those 9 fruits dominate us, that they're there. We just got to mature them and draw it out and work it out. That's part of working out our own salvation. Look at the result. It says, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So what that tells me is, when I'm walking by the Spirit, those things that my body has a natural tendency to want to do, my spirit aligned with my soul, we're going to overcome this thing. And we're going to walk, and we can walk as He walked. Now, there is no doubt that we're going to have to start out doing this by faith. And we're probably going to make some mistakes. We probably have already made some mistakes. But I want you to remember last week, we looked at some verses about Jesus, and I did not review them purposefully because of what we're about to go through. I'm not even going to read all these verses, but you remember we talked about Jesus saying, I can't do nothing of myself. What the Father does and what I see Him do, I do, and on and on. Look at John 5, verse 30 first. The first thing we've got to do is, like Jesus, acknowledge that we can do nothing of ourselves, just like He said when He walked this earth. If it was true for Him, it must be a foundational truth for us. John 5:19 says, what I wrote down was, we do what we see Jesus or what we see Holy Spirit do, where He said, I do only what I see the Father do. And I might say, we do what the Word says, because when we truly see the Word, when it's revealed to us, that is Jesus' instruction to us. John 8:28 says, in my terms, talking about what we're doing, how we increase, as we hear from Him, or I would say as we hear the Word revealed, we do what? We speak it. So we're not just studying to have knowledge. We're studying it to have it become a part of us so that we're speaking it and doing it. John 8:50, Jesus said clearly, I do not seek my own glory. Well, that's got to be foundational for you and I. We seek only the glory of Jesus. That is the only one that the Holy Spirit will ever glorify. And then finally in Luke 22, verse 27, Jesus said he came as a servant to serve the Father and, obviously, to serve us. And I think that is just so, so important that we have that same attitude. Matter of fact, I want you to go to Acts 4, verse 29 with me before we go to read the next scripture. I'm doing this as I'm reading this now. It is not in our notes. I will add it for you. But Acts 4, verse 29, this is when Peter and John have prayed for the man at the gate beautiful, spoken to him actually. Then they got chanted. He got up and walked and leaped and praised God and caused quite a furor. The religious leaders chastised him, told him not to use that name anymore. They came back and basically said, Lord, we know there are threats. And that's where 29 starts about. Well, what they were really saying in this is, we want more of what we just saw. But I want you to notice this phrase in here. It says, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. That is a humble person. Look at what it's saying. Speaking the word with all confidence, meaning that word's going to produce. But before that, it said, behold thy bondservants. That's how they saw themselves. That's really how we ought to see ourselves in this and gain this servant attitude, serving Jesus, but also serving mankind. And I will tell you, I've said before, how you love other people is a reflection on how you love Jesus. And you can just extrapolate that to say, how we serve other people, how we serve people, is a direct correlation to how we love Jesus. So let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, and we're going to start in verse 5 and read from there. And I want you just to, as we read this, again, just have a consciousness of, if Jesus did this and laid aside all he can, how he can help us working inside. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I think it's a Message Bible that says it this way. Think of yourself like Jesus thought of himself. Now, could that be thinking of ourselves as a servant, just as he saw himself as a bondservant? I think it can. Verse 6, then it goes on and expounds on it. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Now, let me just say, this is not about you becoming something insignificant to God. Could he have loved Jesus any more or less while he was here on this earth than when he was in heaven? Absolutely not. But it's the attitude that Jesus had to go about his daily life with. So he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Isn't that what we just saw in Acts 4? And being made in the likeness of men, being made just like we were, and being found in appearance as this man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So again, he humbled himself. It didn't mean that he didn't see himself in right standing with God. It just meant he submitted his will to God, even to the point of death. Therefore, and what was the result of it? Also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. And it's because Jesus got that name. Can I just say, you've got that family name too? But if he walked as a servant, so must we. Now, we also must note that to walk in humility to God, to be humble before God, we must also show humility to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I want to give you three witnesses of that. Because for a lot of us, it's easy to think, well, I can be humble to God, but that person over there, not, no way. Well, listen to these three verses and let's let the Holy Spirit change our thinking. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. In other words, humility you're going to see is worthy of you walking in it just because of you've been called like Jesus who walked in that. And then it says, with all humility, and look at all the other things it adds, gentleness, patience, more of the fruit, forbearing, or forbearance to, or I might say long-suffering, to one another. How? In love. There's that curtain rod. All these fruit have to hang on that curtain rod. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. Do not do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. You don't want to think of yourself as a lowly worm sinner now. You're not. You've got to see yourself as important to God, right standing with him, made a new creation. But we've got to look at others and place them before us, is what this is saying. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. There is not a one of us who is walking today who can't improve and increase in that. And finally, look at what it says. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I've got two witnesses that I believe tells me that I can do this. And finally, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, and then we'll read 14 after we do. It says this, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's you, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, there's fruit again, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord also forgave you, so should you. And then verse 14, which caps it off, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is that perfect bond of unity. So three witnesses that we see instruction from Paul through the Holy Spirit that we can walk as he walked, but it's going to take us being grounded and rooted in his love and then letting these other fruit flow from that love. Now, I want to begin to wind this study up, looking at some promises to the meek and the humble. And these are just a few. And I'm doing it because you see now such a close correlation between humility and thanksgiving. So we've not changed the title of this. We're just seeing how we walk in it and the value to you and I of walking in it. And this is not all now. This is just a few of them. I'll start with 2 Chronicles 7:14 that many of us pray. And New King James says, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then look at the underline. Look at the benefit and the value to us for being humble and then seeking his face in prayer. He says he will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sin and heal our land. And 15 is a really key one to me. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. So we see the command in 14. We see some value from it. But that's just, let me read that again. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. The book of Job, the 22nd chapter, 29th verse, amplified. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up. And the humble person, he lifts up and saves. Thank you, Jesus. That's him who does that for you and I. Lift us off that dung pile, if I can just quote a psalm. And remember now, we're talking here about humility and being thankful and seeing them as close together. But I just want you to remember, versus being this person, the prideful, he knows how? From afar. Psalm 22, verse 26 from the Young's Literal Translation. The humble do eat, and they are satisfied. And when I read that word satisfied, I think about the end of Psalm 91, where he wants us to live a long life. But it's not just a long life. What is it? A long, satisfied life. So the humble do eat and are satisfied. Praise Jehovah, do those seeking him. your heart doth live forever. Pretty straightforward. That we can eat and be satisfied. We can partake of life and live a long, satisfied life. Psalm 25:9, he says, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. Isn't that great? Jesus is involved in that as the Word. The Father is overseeing it, and the Holy Spirit is the one who is revealing it to us and transferring it to us, that we might learn his way and walk ye in it. Psalm 37, verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, I don't know what you think of, but when I see that word peace there, I don't think that that means I'm not going to be involved in any conflicts with others, that I'm not going to have insults maybe hurled at me, any of the persecution that we're going to have for the word's sake. That's going to come. But what I do believe this peace is talking about, while it's not a carnal peace, it is a spiritual peace. The peace between heaven and earth, between God and you. You've got no sin in the way. He's treating you as if there was no sin involved. There cannot be more peace. You can have peace in any situation on this earth when this truly becomes alive to us. And again, this is a way we can be. As we learn more about this, it's going to be allow us to submit and to be make ourselves lowly and thus, what? Submit to God in humility. Psalm 149, verse 4, it gives us really the in essence of how we're going to do this. It says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So it's through all of the work of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, the great plan of the Father to restore man to his own bosom. Matthew 18:4 and 23:2, a couple that we need to also remember. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. So just as a child submits and doesn't think he's got to be the best in everything when he's a real young child before he learns differently, then this says when we humble ourselves in the manner that they do, we can become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now Matthew 23 verse 12 says, whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. It doesn't say might be. It doesn't say maybe. It says that will happen to him. So if we desire to increase and grow, then I think humility is one of the biggest ways we do it, and then we're promoted in so many different ways. James 4, the sixth verse, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Classic. But he gives more and more grace. And then he tells what it is. That is the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency, which we all have, and all others fully. That is why he said, God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, I would say the humble, those who are humble enough to receive it. Now, that last phrase is really thought-provoking for me. It's as if he's saying there are some people who won't receive grace as a free gift because they're so prideful and think, well, I've earned it. We can't earn anything like that we need from God. So let me just read that one again. He gives grace continually to the humble, to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. So part of receiving his grace, again, is being thankful for it, which involves humility. And if we're prideful, we're not thankful, and thus we won't receive his grace. Verse 10 of chapter 4 of James says, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant, not that you don't matter to the God, to the Lord. That's not what it's saying. But humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord. That's because you've magnified him and made him so large, so much larger than you or I would make ourselves. And he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. You want to make a significant contribution to Jesus? Then walk in thanksgiving with humility. I think it's pretty straightforward. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That last phrase literally says, for it matters to him. You matter to him. In no way, when we make ourselves humble or show meekness to others, we're not doing anything to take away that love for us that he has, but because what we do, everything we do matters to him. Now, we've talked about increasing and growing. I want to tie that in to grace and more grace. And this is what you'll begin to see with thanksgiving and thus the way humility relates to it. Two places here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, and I'm going to read this in Young's Literal. It says, for all things are because of you. And then I've made bold in your notes this phrase so you can see it clearly. That the grace having been multiplied, so because it's for you and he's made available for you that free gift, grace has been multiplied. Well, how is it multiplied? Because of the thanksgiving of the more. And then it concludes by saying that that grace may abound to the glory of God, so that God gets the glory. Now, what you're seeing in this is that we receive grace, we give thanks for it, many others give thanks for it because of how we're serving them, and what happens? Then we get more grace. Now, could this be a progression? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:11-12. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So there's been a free gift given, they've ministered, and now God is getting thanks for it. And then it says, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing. How? Through many thanksgiving. So we could literally say that this grace is overflowing through an abundance of thanksgiving to God. So clearly what we're seeing here, receive grace, you're giving thanks, others are giving thanks because you're serving others, and what happens? More grace is given. As more grace is given, more thanks is given. And it just spreads and grows. That's what we have. And then verse 15 I thought was really interesting as I was meditating on this the other day. It said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And he's talking about grace, I know. But it was like the Lord just dropped in my heart, thanksgiving too is a grace he's given us. Because what? It's something we can do that will produce even more of his great gift, his great grace to us. So thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I will just add, of thanksgiving. You know, more grace, more thanksgiving. More grace, more thanksgiving. Humility, right in the middle of that. We can't get haughty when we get more. We just got to make ourselves walk in more humility. It's like bigger the pipe, as big as we can make the pipe of thanksgiving to God, we open up heaven, so what? So the bigger pipe he has to just flow it right back to us. Now, I want to conclude these 10 weeks going back to Colossians 2:7. Colossians 2:7 talked about us abounding in thanksgiving, and or another translation, New American Standard, says overflowing with gratitude. I just want to remind you of these definitions now. Overflowing, to overflow its bounds. To fill to capacity and spread beyond its limits. Abounding, providing a great or plentiful quantity. Now, what have we just seen? When we overflow with thanksgiving, when we abound in gratitude, we are also going to be what? Overflowing in grace and abounding in grace. Oh, what a glorious way that is to live life. The Message translation for that verse, I just want to put it back before us. We're not studying this just so we learn and do nothing. Look at what it says. Quit studying this subject and start living it, and let your living spill over into thanksgiving. That's the challenge we face. And we just need to understand that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Lord directly tells us, in everything give thanks. Not for, but in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for this study, and I just ask you just to minister those elements to each of us individually that we can focus on to get rid of self and just let more of you shine as we become a true servant to you and to your people. Thank you, Lord, for abundant grace being upon us all. So that concludes this study, and we'll be putting out an announcement shortly to talk about our next study, and I look forward to it already. I hope you have a great week, and I just pray that this has ministered to you. And so things that have happened to us that maybe we've held even some bitterness about to God, we can put that aside and just begin to overflow with thanksgiving and in His grace. Have a great week.